Architecture is one of the most important components of human culture. Over thousands of years, different civilizations have built architectural wonders, each more striking than the next. Pyramids, palaces, cathedrals, mosques. Each emerges from the calculations of expert architects, from the joint efforts and cooperation of thousands of people. Architecture is a field where the concepts of art and aesthetics imparted to mankind by God are exhibited. But did you know that there are architects in nature just as skilled as their human counterparts? Animals in nature attract our attention with the structure of their bodies in particular. The cheetah possesses a perfect skeleton and muscle systems for it to run. The eagle possesses the world's best aerodynamic design. The dolphin has a specially created skin and body so it can swim in the water. These flawless designs in animals' bodies are each proof to remind us that every species of living thing was created by God. But possessing a perfect body is not enough. The animal also has to know how to use that body. A bird's wings are only of any use when it succeeds in taking flight, soaring, and then landing with them. When we look at the living world through these eyes, we see a most interesting truth. Each animal behaves in the most appropriate manner for the conditions that surround it. Furthermore, this behavior occurs right from the moment of birth. It takes only half an hour for a newborn antelope to stand up and run. Baby turtles, buried under the sand by their mother turtle, know they have to break out of their shells and head for the surface. Furthermore, they have been taught that as soon as they emerge, they have to reach the sea. It is almost as if animals come into this world fully trained. And the most amazing example of this amazing education animals have is the homes they so expertly build for themselves. When you go into the country on a sunny day, the enchanting beauty of flowers draws your attention. When you examine the flowers a bit more closely, you come across another interesting creature. This is the honeybee, the most disciplined of nature's architects. Honeybees live in colonies and produce one of the world's most perfect foods, honey. They store the honey in the hexagonal honeycombs they build. But have you ever wondered why bees always make their combs hexagonal? Mathematicians sought the answer to this question, and after lengthy calculations, came to an interesting conclusion. The best way of building a storehouse with the greatest capacity, but using the least possible amount of materials, is to make the walls hexagonal. Let us consider the other shapes. If bees built their combs as cylinders, or as pentagonal prisms, then gaps would emerge between them, and less honey could be stored in the combs. A honey store of triangles or squares could be built without leaving any gaps. But here, mathematicians realized a crucial point. Of all these geometric shapes, the one with the shortest circumference is the hexagon. For this reason, although they cover the same area, less material is needed for hexagons than for squares and triangles. In short, a hexagonal comb is the best shape for ensuring maximum storage capacity with minimum wax. Another surprising fact about bees is their cooperation in building their combs. When someone sees a completed comb, he may well imagine that it was built as a single block. But bees actually start building their combs from completely different points. Hundreds of bees set about building the comb from three or four different places. They continue building until they meet in the middle. There is not the slightest imperfection at the juncture. Bees also calculate the angle of the individual cells to each other when building their comb. The back-to-back comb cells are always built at an angle of 13 degrees to the ground. That way, both sides of the comb slope upwards. This angle prevents the honey spilling out of the combs. Wherever we go in the world, honeybees manage this extraordinary architecture perfectly every time. And they do it in the depths of the hive, in pitch dark, where sunlight cannot reach. There is a very interesting truth here. Bees exhibit these extraordinary characteristics from the moment they are born. They do not learn over time by observing the comb structure and direction. From the moment they open their eyes, they possess the skill. So who is teaching bees this architectural art? The answer to this question is given in the Holy Quran. In this book, which God sent down to men to show them the true path, He reveals the secret of honeybees' superb abilities. Your Lord inspired the bees. Make hives in the mountains and in the trees and in what they build. Then eat of all the fruits and walk in the ways of your Lord submissively. From their bellies comes a drink with different colors, which contains healing for mankind. Most surely, there is a sign in this for people who reflect. The secret of animals' extraordinary skills is the inspiration given them by God. And this applies to all living things, not just the honeybee. We can see this truth more clearly when we examine other architects in nature. A short while ago, this small lake you see was a very different place. To be more accurate, there was no pond here at all until very recently. There were just hard pebbles lying on dry soil. But a very industrious group of workers struggled and made a great effort and built this pond. These industrious workers are the lovely animals known as beavers. Beavers live together as one big family. Their homes stand at one side of the pond that they build through their own efforts. The beaver's story begins with a male and a female beaver moving off to make a new home for themselves. The beaver pair will make their home on a river. But first, they have to block the current. In order to do this, they employ the same method that man has been using for hundreds of years. They build a dam. In order to start building the dam, they first have to find materials. These consist of tree logs and branches. The beavers start working by going to forested areas beside the river. First, they eat a few leaves from the trees they find. But their real task is to cut down the trees and push them over. This they do by gnawing expertly at the tree trunk. The interesting side of this is that they gnaw the trees in such a way that when the job comes to an end, the tree always falls in the direction of the water. The cutting and pushing over of the tree is still the job's crudest component. Later, the beavers split the tree up into its component branches and begin to form a dam by laying them out in front of the biggest log they have pushed over. all this time, the only tools they use are their paws and their mouths. This work continues with great patience. Two beavers will cut down an average of 400 trees a year. They divide those trees further away from the dam into their separate branches and drag these to their dam. Beavers always use their front teeth when gnawing at the tree trunks or branches. As they use them all the time, these front teeth get worn down and break. But the beaver's jaw is created specially for this job. Its sharp front teeth keep growing, just like a person's nails. The Almighty God, who created beavers, also created their teeth for the job they would have to do. A beaver's body is created in such a way as to make it easier for them to swim in water. Their feet are webbed so they can easily displace water. Their tail is like a giant paddle, thanks to which they can swim comfortably in the water. The beavers continue their building with great zeal. They expertly arrange the large tree logs and the small branches and enlarge their dam a little more every day. As the dam grows, the water that collects in front of it grows higher. At the end of a few months of labor, a large pond forms behind the dam. As this pond grows, the beavers have to strengthen the dam and repair any cracks. They carry out this difficult task with great patience. The scene that emerges as the result of several months of hard work is, in a word, magnificent. A real dam resembling those made by man has been formed. As you notice, beavers make their dams concave. The shape is not one picked by coincidence, because the form of a dam that best resists water pressure is a concave dam. In fact, the modern hydroelectric power dams of our day are also built concave. In short, beavers possess the construction knowledge which man attains over time from the first day of their lives. So, who gave them that knowledge? There is no doubt that a living creature cannot come by the ability to build a dam by chance. It cannot find the shape of a dam that will best resist water pressure by accident, and it cannot pass these abilities onto subsequent generations. It is the Almighty God who gives the beaver the skills it possesses, who creates all living things and inspires what they do. The beaver's aim in constructing this giant dam is to have a still pond where they can make their nest. They also make their own nest while they're constructing the dam. The nest, or lodge as it's called, is at the edge of the pond, somewhere near the soil. The lodge, which looks like a pile of wood when seen from above, is in fact very well designed. The only way into the lodge is underwater. In order to get inside it, it is necessary to go through a hidden tunnel. This tunnel emerges into a concealed chamber above the level of the water. The beaver family lives in this dry and secure chamber. Some beavers build their lodge on two floors. The first floor is an entrance and living room. The upper floor, a dining room and bedroom. A beaver lodge has two underwater entrances and an air vent situated at the top. Inside this wonderful lodge, the beavers are not only protected from outside dangers, but also have a comfortable shelter. Their young open their eyes to the world inside the lodge. After they have grown a little, they begin to go outside with their parents and meet the world. When they are tired from swimming, what they like best is to climb onto their mother's backs. The little pond the beavers form can sometimes be as much as 3 or 4 meters deep. They do not actually need water as deep as this to build their nest. So in that case, why do they make such a deep pond? The answer to this question becomes apparent in winter. In winter, the surface of the water freezes and forms a rather thick layer of ice. If the pond is not deep enough, it will freeze right down to the bottom, and the whole thing will turn into a block of ice, and this would destroy the beaver's power of movement. The beavers, as if they know this, try to make the small lake as deep as possible. In this way, in winter, a thick layer of water remains under the ice. This is enough for the beavers to move and feed. When one considers this, it is clear that what beavers do is truly extraordinary. These small creatures manage to do something that most people could not do without special engineering training. So who is it that makes them do this? It is impossible to say that beavers are highly intelligent creatures. So how do these little animals plan their nests with special entrances to the water and air conditioning vents? How do they know how to make dams to the same concave design as the world's most modern hydroelectric dams? These tasks are way beyond these lovely little animals' intelligence and knowledge. It is clear that there is a great power which makes them do what they do. The Almighty God, who creates all living things and inspires their behavior, also inspires beavers to make their perfect dams and nests. God reveals his sovereignty over living things in a Quranic verse. Everyone in the heavens and earth belongs to him. All are submissive to him. When we look at the other architects in nature, we can clearly see that each one is a miracle of creation. Let us have a look at a few out of the thousands of examples. Termites are small insects resembling ants. They live in colonies and build giant nests for themselves. The building blocks of the nest are bricks made from soil, which worker termites make by using their saliva as mortar. The height of a termite nest can sometimes be as much as 3 or 4 meters. The architecture of these nests, which are like giant skyscrapers when compared to the size of these termites, is stunning. The inside of a termite's nest is full of narrow passages. In the depths of these corridors, some 1.5 million termites work together in great harmony. When we look at a cross-section of a nest, we see that there is a special chamber for the queen, agricultural areas, storehouses, and air conditioning passages. The termites both see to the construction and repair of the nest, and also prepare to meet any potential enemies, as well as engaging in agriculture inside the nest by growing fungus. The survival of such a large population depends on one very important condition: the stabilization of the nest's heat and moisture balance. The solution to this problem is absolutely perfect. Parallel panels are built in the roof area of the termite nest. These panels, made of mud, absorb the moisture given off by the termites' bodies. This moisture evaporates with the heat inside and heads upwards through the nest's air conditioning channels. This evaporation both lowers the temperature of the nest and also ensures a continuous circulation of air. These panels in the termite nest perform a perfect air conditioning function. And there are other amazing examples of termites' construction knowledge. another species of northern Australia, makes nests in the shape of a dagger, very wide but with very fine edges. The secret of these nests lie in their angle to the sun. The nests are at such an angle that at noon, when the sun is at its height, only a very small surface of the nest faces the sun, and thus heat is kept to a minimum. The same angle is employed in all these species' nests, with no mistakes. But the most striking feature of this subject is that the termites, which do all this wonderful building, are blind. So, how do these tiny creatures, which cannot see a centimeter in front of them, construct these giant towers based on fine engineering calculations? How do the 1.5 million termites in one nest manage such perfect cooperation? A famous British naturalist, David Attenborough, makes this comment on the question in one of his documentaries.
Each worker places its pellet of mud in the position demanded by a master plan, though how they're able to do so, we don't begin to understand.
This great plan, which human beings cannot understand, but which termites obey without question, is the inspiration given to these creatures by God. Another of nature's master architects are weaver birds, which build their nests by sewing blades of grass to one another. In order to build a nest, a weaver bird first forms a triangular framework. Then it covers the outside of this frame by tying three different kinds of knots. Each nest has a sound frame, walls, and an entrance. The first step in the construction of the nest is the tying of a long, thin blade of grass to a thin branch. But that is by no means easy. The weaver bird has a real struggle to tie just one knot. It is very important for this first knot to be in the correct form. Otherwise, there will be no point in continuing with the construction of the rest of the nest. Because if the first knot is wrong, then the rest of the nest will all be wrong too, as they are all based on the first one. The knots multiply over time and take on the form of a hoop. The bird has to carefully calculate the dimension of the hoop it forms. The hoop has to be big enough for itself to enter, but small enough to keep other larger birds out. The bird gets the ideal size for the hoop right at once and every time. After weaving the foundation hoop around it in this manner, it begins to build the roof space. The technique weaver birds use to build their nests is the same as that used by human weavers. They weave the blades of grass by passing them under and over each other. They employ this technique with great patience and eventually construct perfect nests. When one looks at the trees weaver birds live in, they look like giant cities made of hundreds of houses, not just a single one. Every single weaver bird has built a house of the same construction, obeying the same power. Another creature reminiscent of the honeybee with its architectural skill is the paper wasp. This species of wasp chews pieces of wood and uses them to produce cellulose, in other words, paper. Then it uses this paper to build itself a round nest. It makes hexagonal combs, just like the honeybees, from the paper which it sticks to the inside of the roof. It places an egg into each hexagon on the roof. Some 3 weeks later, larvae emerge from these eggs. These larvae demonstrate a surprising intelligence and close up the mouths of the comb. In this way, they avoid falling down under their own weight. After a few more weeks of growth, they emerge from their cells as adult wasps. The young wasps lose no time in throwing themselves into life. Every task they have to perform is inspired in them by their creator, God. The young enlarge the construction which their mothers began. At the end, a rather large colony emerges. The wasp's nest is now a multi-storied apartment block. Every wasp born here will abide by the letter to the inspiration given to it. These small pots you see belong to another species of wild bee. This wild bee makes a sticky mud by mixing its saliva with moist soil. It makes exceedingly regular pots by using the mud it makes. It gives form to the mud by continually turning it around, the same technique used by human beings to make pots. When the pot is finished, it doesn't neglect to add a lid. When everything is ready, the bee turns its rear towards the mouth of the pot and leaves an egg inside. After adding some food materials to the pot, it seals the mouth up and flies off. The larva which hatches from the egg will later break the pot and emerge and start a life of its own. These are pots broken by the young and then abandoned. The young which emerge start to build perfect pots, just like their mothers did and with no training. This wonderful craft they possess was inspired in them by God, their creator. Spiders, on the other hand, make their webs with threads from their own bodies. Spider thread is 5 times stronger than steel of the same thickness. Even large flies which move fast through the air cannot escape the strong and flexible trap of the spider web. There are sticky droplets on black widow spider webs. It is impossible for prey caught in these webs to free themselves. The spider's web is sticky, flexible, and amazingly strong. Beyond being a trap, this web is actually an extension of the spider's own body. The spider feels the vibration of every prey that gets caught in the web and catches it without delay. The web is produced in the spider's hindquarters. It pulls the thread produced by a special organ with its legs. The sticky droplets on the surface of the thread are actually small bunches of thread. These open out when necessary, and the web easily stretches. There is no doubt that it's the inspiration God gives this creature that causes the spider to build this architectural marvel. The 19th century may go down in human history as the century of deceptions, because in that period, many philosophies with no scientific basis, such as Marxism, were imposed on mankind. But the greatest deception of the 19th century was the theory of evolution, put forward by the British biologist called Charles Darwin. In his book, The Origin of Species, published in 1859, Darwin suggested that all living things in nature had come about as the result of blind chance. This theory appeared quite believable given the primitive level of 19th century science, and it was soon widely accepted. However, modern scientific discoveries have demolished Darwin's claims. Paleontology, the science of fossils, shows that different living groups appeared on the Earth suddenly and underwent no evolution over hundreds of millions of years. Anatomy and biochemistry have proven that there are very complex structures in living things, and that these cannot come about by chance. And biological observations have revealed that nature does not possess the alleged mechanisms to transform species into one another. For these reasons, Darwinism today is a theory that has scientifically collapsed. Animals' intelligent behavior that we have observed in this film is another important fact that overturns the theory of evolution. Evolutionists call the intelligent behavior that animals exhibit without undergoing any special training instinct. But they cannot explain the origin of instinct. In his book, The Origin of Species, Darwin devoted a whole section to the subject. At the very start of this section, entitled Instinct, he admits how deadly the intelligent behavior in animals is to his theory. So wonderful an instinct as that of the hive bee making its cells will probably have occurred to many readers as a difficulty sufficient to overthrow my whole theory. Darwin was especially baffled by the architectural skills of the honeybee, and asked himself, what shall we say to so marvelous an instinct as to that which leads the bee to make cells, which have practically anticipated the discoveries of profound mathematicians? The answer Darwin gave to this question was habit. He suggested that a living creature developed a habit over the course of its life, then passed this habit on to its offspring, Thus, an inherited instinct developed over time. Darwin was basing this argument on the theories of the French biologist Lamarck, who lived before him. But the science of genetics, which developed in the 20th century, showed that Lamarck's theories were pure nonsense, and that no living thing can pass on a feature or a habit it has acquired during its lifetime to the next generation. This proved that Darwin's explanation of instinct was based on mistaken guesswork. Another dilemma instinct poses to the theory of evolution is the problem that animals possess instinct from the moment they are born. An animal which lacked the necessary instinct would be unable to survive. An offspring which did not possess the instinct of sucking its mother's milk would be unable to live. This demonstrates that instinct cannot have come about by stages over time, as evolutionists claim. For all these reasons, instinct is a fact capable of demolishing the theory of evolution all by itself, as Darwin had feared. In his book, The Great Evolution Mystery, the evolutionist writer Gordon Taylor makes this confession. When we ask ourselves how an instinctive pattern of behavior arose in the first place and became hereditarily fixed, we are given no answer. It is really impossible for evolutionists to explain where instinct comes from, because the source is not coincidences, as they think, but the inspiration God gives to living things. The honey bees, which make flawless hexagonal combs. Beavers, which build dams with fine engineering calculations. Termites, which erect complicated skyscrapers with their blind eyes. Weaver birds. Wild bees, which make apartment blocks out of paper. And thousands of other expert architects in nature. By exhibiting these surprising works of architecture, these creatures reveal to us the skills which are actually given to them by God. Each one of them acts by God's inspiration, as is announced in a verse of the Quran. There is no creature he does not hold by the forelock. Yet there is still another creature that brings forth architectural marvels with the inspiration and skills given him by God, to whom the most marvelous works in the world belong. That creature is man. Many people today are unaware of this fact. And in the face of people's achievements, they only feel amazement for those people themselves. Whereas, it is God who gives a human being his body, emotions, intelligence, and who inspires in him the senses of art and aesthetics. The marvelous works, which people see as man's masterpieces, are actually a manifestation of God's infinite art and knowledge. For this reason, the real one we should truly praise in the face of every kind of aesthetic beauty and splendor that we see is the Almighty God, who created all these notions and who inspires these as he wishes in the living things he creates. He reveals this fact in a verse of the Quran. All praise belongs to God, the Lord of the heavens and the Lord of the earth, Lord of all the worlds. All greatness belongs to Him in the heavens and earth. He is the Almighty, the All-Wise.